Hey everybody, and welcome to Front Row with Jackie Rowe, and I'm your host, Jacqueline Rowe. All right, guys, I hope everyone is doing well, and you know, I did a little thing the other day on the passing of DMX, which it really hit home. Like, we're losing a lot of our great, you know, I would say industry icons as far as, you know, lyrical rappers that are really, you know, some of the best that I've ever heard in our time. You know, when you come from my era, starting from the early 80s on up, you know, we love certain old style music and stuff. And so for this genre, I hope they could really appreciate the era of all of these lyrical, real great lyricists of rapping that can tell really good stories and really tell from their own pains and the things that they went through in their lives. And, you know, I hope you really can really put these in some Bible format and really appreciate these lyrical rappers, no matter what they go through, because some of the best rappers and singers are the ones that actually live the real life pain and endurance of, you know, trying to live this life that we're living every day. You know, like I always tell people, to me, I'm not saying death is easy, but when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. But when you have to live every day, as soon as you get up and touch the floor, brush your teeth, wash your face, and start your day, that's a hard task. To a lot of people, it seems like it's easy, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, living is hard. You have to set your mind frame in a place where you're going to make sure that it's going to work for you every second of the minute of the day that you start your day. And you have to thank the Creator, because He is the one that gave you that life, opened up your eyes, pumped air in your heart, and broke you out of that sleep. So I say this to say, I'm not going to stay too long because I have a really busy day, but I wanted to just touch on certain things about DMX's, you know, farewell. Kudos to everybody that put it together. I think they did a phenomenal job. They sent him out like the person that he lived. You know what I'm saying? I would never even anticipated that type of a, you know, going out. But they did it. They did it like a bang, and it was awesome. My only regret is, as always with everyone, I always say to people, give people their love and their flowers meanwhile they're dead. Because like I said, when you're dead, you're dead. You can't hear anything. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what is life after death. So we don't know what that transition is. You dig what I'm saying? So when there's people around you that you really care about, don't let tedious things play a part in your life where you stop speaking to them. Or, you know, even me, I got to learn that too, because I'm a no-nonsense type of a woman. People rub me the wrong way one time, I'm that. I just cut them off. You know what I'm saying? They call me the scissors clip. That's it. But I got to learn, because we need to understand that living is a blessing, whether we understand why we're living or not, but it's a blessing. You know what I'm saying? It's up to you, because each and every one of us are a blessing. Individually, we are a blessing. We are a light inside of us that is supposed to shine for us to do something in this world before we go back where we came from. Where that is, I believe, I can say my, you know, time of living, I believe there is a place of resurrection, but to each his own. I'm not going to go preaching today. So I just wanted to talk about what Tashera did, and I'm so proud of her, maybe because I know her well, but to see that gangster part of her, you know, standing up as a woman and recognizing his kids, I thought that was phenomenal. And I just want to play back some of the stuff, you know?
I'm not going to be before you long. I might be lying, but I'm going to try to do my best. Let me just say a little short prayer for myself to give me strength so I can be in my spirit when I speak about Earl. Father God, as I speak about your son, your prophet of light, I ask that you give me strength like you taught me, like you raised me to be the warrior that I am, that stood by that prophet of light. Let my words flow like water. Thank you. Earl, I met Earl before he was DMX. So I'm gonna take you on a little journey on who I met. I met Earl when I was 11 years old. We lived blocks away from each other. I lived up the hill on Park Hill Avenue, and he lived in School Street.
Stop. Big banks are lying to you. They don't want you to know that you can now get a PPP loan in as little as 60 seconds. And I'm going to teach you how you can do it in this quick 2-minute video. I'm Matt Smith from Milwaukee, and I'm a DoorDash driver. I deliver groceries.
Oh,
and
sorry I still about was that, guys. For over 20...
I was raised my foundation as a Muslim. I took my Shahada when I was 7 years old. I come from at the time, very strict family. I couldn't really come out the house unless it was a birthday or I needed to run to the store for an errand. This particular day, when I was 11, as I was coming out of our building, I looked up the block. First of all, I was a child of 7. I'm the oldest. And we only had one TV in the house, so I had a very big imagination. So, for the old school, y'all already know. As I came out the building, I looked to my left, and I saw a young boy with a dog. And for some reason, it intrigued me. Didn't have much excitement in my life. Told you I had a big imagination, so I was very intrigued about what the young boy was doing, because he looked like he was up to something. So as I watched, I seen this young boy give a command to this black dog. And there was this old lady walking down the street with her pocketbook. Didn't really pay attention to the old lady because I was watching the young man and the dog. But he said, "Grab it, Black." And Black grabbed the pocketbook. When Black grabbed the pocketbook, they ran past. The lady didn't give a struggle, just so you know. She kind of just let the pocketbook go because she like was a little startled. As Earl ran past me, I was in the building, in front of the building, just like in awe and excitement, like, wow, like, did that just happen? And as Earl ran past, we caught eyes, and he had this smirk on his face, and like, you better not say nothing.
Well, you know, that was deep. You know, I really respect her for that and you know, sharing that part. But I want to get to, I'm sorry for the interruption, guys.
Most self-employed,
but I really
want
to get to the main important parts of what she was saying and what I gave her, excuse me, much love for was this particular part right here, you know. And I just thought this was phenomenal. To see her really recognizing, you know, that DMX had other, you know, women and other kids. It's not easy when you love someone to actually, you know, embrace it. So, you know, he's not here any longer. So it was sad that they had to come together at this, you know, time. But, you know, they did it. You know what I'm saying? And so it was cool, you know. And I just liked this part when she really said this.
That has been gifted. You guys are so blessed.
He's talking about his kids.
Earl was amazing. He loved family. He loved children, his children. And he wasn't perfect by a long shot. But his heart was pure, his gold. So... like I said, I could be long-winded when it comes to Earl, but I just want to end off by saying, he's in a better place now, and we have gained a mighty, strong warrior up in heaven. That's going to be rooting for us. He's going to be at your wedding, I promise you. He's going to be at anything that you was hoping to do. He's going to be there when you write. He's going to be there for every single one of y'all because that's who Earl was. So now he's no longer in his flesh, but he's in his spirit. And that spirit is nothing to reckon with. I am going to recognize Desiree.
That part.
Because from day one, real women do real things. I'm a real woman, and I'm a woman of God. That woman is a woman of God. She's in training. She's in the work. She ain't perfect, but she love that man. And that's why I love you. You hear me? So when she comes up,
okay, for those that didn't see that part, this is the part where she embraces her and she hugs her and she gives her the confidence to actually stand up at the podium and speak, because, you know, this is the first time for her. She's never done this. And to do this at a time where your love of your life
right now
is deceased.
She's not. She's new to this. She's stage fright. But you got this, Desiree. Be strong. Like the woman that we taught you to be.
Represent it.
Thank you, guys. And I love y'all.
Thank you, Tashara Simmons. That was very well said. And so that's what I wanted to cap on. You know, there was a lot of other stuff about DMX, Pharoah, the fact that he came to Brooklyn and I didn't even get a chance to be there. I am so upset. You know what I mean? It's just certain things that you know you're supposed to be at a time and a place, and this was one of them. He was right here in the Barclay. I'm upset I didn't get to be there. Then the next day, his funeral service, his farewell, it was at CCC right here in Brooklyn. I wasn't there. And I was asking myself, why wasn't I there? But, you know, only God knows why I wasn't there. But I love DMX. In my heart, internally, I know I could have been there to pay my presence to be seen. But I just felt like, you know, I just want to love him the way I love him. I love him from a long time. Just the streets of what he was speaking about. The same way I love Jay-Z and Biggie Small. I just connect with them because I understand, just like a lot of us do. But this is just me speaking my pet peeve. And I feel that, you know, we misunderstand people sometimes. And we look at what the outside exterior, what someone is going through. And we look at them with scorn and with, you know, all kinds of dismay. But I know a lot of people loved him. They thought he was rugged. He was raw. But the real people that around him at what that was around him at the time, they did as much as they could, because when you have a soul that's not contained, you can't really control it. You know what I mean? It's just so open. It's like she said, it's a water flood. You know what I mean? And he wasn't to be contained. He was just who he was. But in all that being who he was, he should have just always really been loved the way he was loved when he was living. That's my pet peeve. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, a lot of people loved him. Yeah, DMX, but you know, I always saw them. I always knew he was real. You know what I mean? And those from the streets gonna recognize real. And I just felt like a lot of people need to start giving people their roses meanwhile they're alive. Like, hug a motherfucker. You know what I mean? Hey, I love you. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you are right. If we have more love in this world, I 100% believe that we'll be a better world. You know what I mean? It's too much evil. It's too much hate. It's too much bigger. It's too much stupid bullshit. It's too much people trying to be better than the next motherfucker. If I'm going shopping, I got a stack, I'm going to buy everybody with me as much as I can, because I want everybody to look good. That's just who I am. You know, I don't know, because I'm Aquarius and a love sign, but I'm a loving type of chick. I ain't no sucker. I ain't no gang. I ain't no, you know, I'm just one of them chicks that I'll call a spade, a heart, a heart. You know what I mean? I'm never going to ever, ever stop being who I am, but I'm a loving kindred soul. You know what I mean? And I think people need to understand that more about themselves than anything. We, you know, God had took the red carpet away for a lot of people, and he has sat all of us down on cold concrete. Everybody is in an epidemic. The whole world, has never been shut down like it is before. Yes, opening up a little bit, but you know, what did you learn when you were sitting down? What did you really learn? You know, for so many people, yeah, money is everything, but money is also the root of evil. You know what I'm saying? You got to think real good. What do you do with your money when you get your money? What are you going to do with your money when you get your money? Are you going to do something for the embetterment, or are you going to play Julius Caesar and try to be, you know, better than everybody and have all everybody feeding you grapes and fit? No, you're supposed to treat your equal like your A alike. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't want to be in a world and thinking that you better than everybody, want to show everybody that you got something now. Or this thing where I see a lot of these young girls and people around me do it all the time. They want to show you that, oh, I'm on now and I'm popping. But hey, everyone that's on, though, remember, it's like popcorn. It pops a little bit, and then what happened? Like a balloon, you know, it get bust too. Your air's going to deflate somehow, some way. So remember what you're doing, and just always look and check out your surroundings around you and see how you can really be valuable, how you can really help somebody that really needs help and really needs love. So I'm not going to keep y'all, you know, long today with any long-winded. I just wanted to just really touch on what Tashera did, because I know her. And I thought that was a very powerful move as a woman to do something like that. You know what I mean? He never saw his 15 kids at once. But to see all of them, this is what I'm telling you, it'd be tragic situations that come upon us that we see the beauty in everything. Why must we always do that? Why can't we see the beauty in things as it is? Right there in front of our faces. You know what I mean? Not wait for a demise for us to see the beauty. That's the part right there. I'm like, damn, like, it was great. It was beautiful. Everybody came out, did their thing. Kanye, you know, sent his choir, you know, Nas, Swiss, the whole Rough Rider, D-Y. I know all of them, you know, Siobhan did all of them. I know that whole family really well. And it's just like, you know, they went through a lot, but nobody gave them their props. But now DMX sales go up. You know what I mean? Rough Rider's probably going to get a good little break in there now. But when people are out here hustling, man, people don't be seeing and people be hating. You know what I mean? Stop hating and start congratulating people. That's what I want people to understand. You know what I mean? It's no benefits in hating someone. You know what I mean? Start loving somebody. You know what I mean? That's what you need to start doing, because people don't understand. We only got a limited time on this planet, and we got to make the best of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop the bull crap, man. Show the love to people that you need to show the love to and keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to hurt nobody. It's not going to kill nobody to show some love and respect to your, you know, to people that needs it right now, because we all going through something. And if we can just, you know, each one teach one, it would be phenomenal. It would be phenomenal. So, you know, I just want to end it with this, because this was phenomenal.
My dear beloved brothers and sisters, to Uncle Ray, to the family of our brother Earl, and to all of you that are present, to pay your condolences to the family, but most of all, to honor a man that God sent this way to give us lessons to grow us from. I'm so thankful to God to have this opportunity to hear from Reverend A.R. Bernard. I enjoyed every word you spoke. To all of you that spoke of our brother in such a beautiful way, to all of the family that demonstrated their magnificent love for him, but most importantly, your love for each other. And that makes me so convinced that the future of Earl DMX Simmons is great, because each child, each female that was in his life, will carry his legacy on, and greater things will they do if they hold on to the beautiful man that is their father. You know, brothers and sisters, to his ex-wife, Tashira, to his fiance, Desiree, to all the children, and to all of you out there that, like myself, I met him through his music, but I really got to know him like Reverend Bernard by listening to his music. Sometimes we don't know why circumstances in our lives are or were like they were. Sometimes we are upset with mom because of this or that, upset with dad because of this or that, upset with our siblings because of this or that. But what we may not know or realize, it's these circumstances when you were in the womb. It's these circumstances that were in your environment when you came from the womb that have shaped you and marked you for the future and for that which you are going to do like dad to affect the whole world. Did you know that your dad's life and love and pain and suffering shaped him to be a voice for our young people and young people all over the world? He suffered in his life. He had pain in his life. He had joy in his life, but he lived his life transparent. Many of us in public life, we're one thing in the public and another thing in private. Not Earl Simmons. DMX was who he was and who he is, and the reason he has affected the people in the hip-hop genre and human beings across the globe, it is because he was genuine. So one sister that was talking, she said, man, he was a prophet. Well, those of us who study the Bible and the Holy Quran and other religious texts, we may not see him as a prophet, but he actually was. God used his life to educate, to teach, and show the world that you can come up the way he did, but struggle and then overcome the struggle and reach beyond your pain and your suffering and yourself to affect the whole world that is just like you. We came up on the rough side of the mountain, brothers and sisters. We didn't have an easy life. God ordered it that way so that we could serve his purpose through our pain to affect the whole of humanity. And that's why the Bible says, the last will be first. The bottom rail is going to come to the top. And you will no longer be the tail, but God is mocking you to be the head. And though my time to talk with you is short, I want to tell you something about Jesus and why your sadness won't endure for long, because you will learn how to contact your Father. When Jesus was among us, brothers and sisters, he had a shorter life than Brother Earl, but the time that he spent among us, his suffering, his pain, his deep love and commitment to the Father. He told us how to contact him after he was crucified, resurrected, and left us. Your Father is not gone. He's absent, but you can bring him back. Listen to the words of the Master at the Last Supper. Didn't he call his disciples, sit them down, took some bread, and broke that bread? And he said, "This is my body that I have given for the New Testament." You can't bring something new and better in the world if you only know a good life. Jesus did not have that kind of life. He was hated without a cause. He was persecuted and then crucified, but yet he remains in the memory of billions. And I, as a Muslim, he will always be in my life, because I know that in order to be a real Christian, you gotta walk after him. Look at his words. If any man would be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, but you gotta pick up your cross and then walk after Jesus. Look at Earl. Look at DMX. He didn't have an easy life. No. He had a successful life because he found out his purpose, and before life was over, he found the door. He's like a lion in a cage. Like many of our black brothers and sisters, all inside we're pent up with the thoughts of greatness, the thoughts of God. I know my young, beautiful brother said, "That's my dog." You know, I know, but of the world, you would say dog, because the dog, they say, is a man's best friend. But not with a Christian. God always will be your best friend. And your Father is how you get in touch with him and keep him with you. Now, what did Jesus do? They call it communion. He broke the bread. He didn't give it all to one person. He didn't hold it all to himself. Your Father has 13 children. Each of you has a piece of him. That's your part. But your gift, God has given you that, belongs wholly to you. But if you have communion with your Father like you have communion with Jesus, as Jesus said to his disciples, "And lo, I will be with you till the end of the world." So, my dear beloved family, don't grieve to the point where you can't see your way. Sorrow, yes, but the scripture says joy is coming in the morning, and you can believe it. And so I close with these words. If you look at a cross has a horizontal bar, a cross has a vertical bar. This cross is the duality in the nature of the human being. We come into the world on a horizontal level, but we're not to stay that way. Abraham, the Quran says, was God's friend, not because they say he was Jewish or Muslim or this. No, he was God's friend because he lived an upright life. And that's the struggle of every Christian, every Muslim, the struggle to be upright, to live a righteous life, though your nature is you got to rise above that level of the beast of the field. Your father spoke so beautifully about the low life. Our people are locked in that duality. We're very little in uprightness, but we're living our life on a horizontal level. And that's why Jesus told us that the dead will rise. It doesn't mean that the dead necessarily in the cemetery will rise, because all of us are operating on a dead level. Dead mentally, dead morally, dead spiritually, dead politically, dead educationally. But the power to rise is all in us. So never ever think of Father as dog. Turn it around. Think of your dad.
Yes, God.
And when he rapped, God was rapping. When he spoke, God was speaking. When he told about his hard times in life, he was struggling within himself. Jesus had that struggle. But at Easter, we used to sing a song in the church. The strife is o'er. The battle done. The victory of life is won. All glory to that risen Son. Hallelujah. So all of you that are listening, the struggle continues, but you will win as he won. He's free. He found the door to the cage. Jesus said, I am the door. And when he found the door, he came out of hell and began to move toward a heavenly life. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for allowing me this great privilege.
Wow, tell me that wasn't deep. Tell me that wasn't deep.
When it's here with me, then I thank you for the love you give me. Why? I don't know. I don't deserve it. Inside. Many a nights I cried and called your name out loud, but didn't call you when I was doing good, too proud. And still you gave me love. I wasn't used to that. Most of the people that gave me love ended up taking it back. That's something new to me. So I'm asking you for time to adjust. Let me make it there. I will be one you can trust. What I stand for, I put my life on. I do. I guess what I'm asking is, show me how to stand for you. And I will rap for you, sing for you, reach for you, preach for you, teach for you. I will love you like you love me, unconditionally. And I will always be prepared for whatever the mission will be. Give the nutrition to me, and I'll properly digest it. And when I give it back, I will show you word well invested. And whenever I go, before I go, let me give. Thanks to you, Lord, for my birth, for every day that I've lived. You gave me a love most of my life I didn't know was there. I give you my life because you cared. Amen.
Amen. Ooh-wee. Can't get no better than D. D is so deep, man. I love you, DMX, yo. He was always the truth. So this is my, you know, way of showing the love that I've always loved for him. You know, it's funny, I had called Shatera a while back when he was in Arizona, and I got DMX's number, it's crazy, on my phone. And I wonder if I could play his voicemail on my phone. No, I'm not going to do all of that. Anyway, but I was always trying to reach out to DMX to see how I could help him. Like, so crazy, right? I'm always thinking I'm Captain Save-O. But I did. And Tashara knows that. I used to be like, yo, Tell him to call me. I love him. You know what I'm saying? I feel his pain. Like, you know, but hey, that's what we got to do. We got to reach out. So I'm not going to keep you guys. I love you. Thank you for being the best part of Front Row with Jackie Rowe. You know, tell a friend to tell your friend that Jackie Rowe's on a podcast near you. Be blessed. Do something nice. You know what I mean? Call a friend. See how she's doing. Always remember that this too shall pass. Be blessed. Thanks.